Welcome to AM Best Audio.
By understanding and applying the principles of behavioral economics, insurance companies can increase customer satisfaction and ultimately increase profitability. That according to a recent study from Celent. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Andrew Schwartz, an analyst at Celent and the author of that study, which is called Applying Behavioral Economics to Insurance. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, John. Great to be here again.
So, Andrew, can you explain the concept of behavioral economics?
Absolutely. So, at its core, behavioral economics fuses the teachings of psychology and economics. The field really tries to explain why we as humans do things the way we do and what motivates us. In the world of academia, it's really become the dominant approach to understanding consumer decisions. The central message of behavioral economics is that humans do not always make rational choices that will maximize utility, and that we're often motivated by things like heuristics, which are rules of thumbs and biases. However, many of these irrational choices are actually quite predictable through the application of behavioral economics.
Now, in your study, you posed the question, why does insurance cause some people to lie? So why does it?
Well, I think that the very premise of insurance kind of goes against our present bias heuristic, which is a concept that which means that we tend to value short-term gains. So when someone pays a premium and a loss doesn't occur, they might actually perceive the insurance as an unwise investment because there's no tangible return. So as a result, the policyholder may become resentful because they view their insurance policy as a monthly sunk cost rather than as a mitigation tool. And similarly, when policyholders have an unrealistic expectation of how they may feel about losses. So when someone purchases it at low deductible to save money and a claim does occur that's only partially covered, they may become frustrated, even though that's actually what they're owed. So above all, there is really an adversarial business model because the carrier and the policyholder both kind of are unsatisfied and they think that the other one's goals are not aligned with theirs. So obviously for the policyholder, the goal is to pay a policy and quickly become indemnified and made whole in a time of need. But for the insurance company, the incentive, and it's not necessarily an evil one, is in the perception of the policyholder to probably maximize profitability. So that misalignment leads to some people rationalizing cheating and potentially padding legitimate claim because they feel like they aren't given the value that they're needed. And on the opposite side, for the insurance company to become extremely skeptical because they think that the policyholder is in some cases padding a claim. So I think that's why it causes people to lie. They're able to have a internal justification that even though they're a good and honest person, they feel that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them padding a claim. I mean, a really interesting statistic that I found pretty jarring was that 24% of respondents in an insurance research council poll said that they thought it was acceptable to pad an insurance claim by a small amount to make up for deductibles that they're required to pay. And as you can probably infer, that number is probably a lot higher than some folks would probably admit in that poll because they're embarrassed to admit that even small fraud's okay. So I think that that is really at the heart of it. And insurance companies are really starting to recognize that in behavioral economics. Can help make that better.
So how can insurers benefit from behavioral economics?
Yeah, so I think that insurers can benefit from behavioral economics in a variety of ways. Behavioral economics is an academic field and there are a lot of principles, but there are practical applications for insurers that they can implement to really kind of optimize their processes and create a better customer experience. So, you know, for example, there are a bunch of biases. One bias, for example, is the anchoring bias, which is the tendency to place more value on initial information received and basing one's perception and preferences off of first impression. So, showing a monthly policy price rather than an annual price first could be something that, would make a policy more satiable. Or also another kind of teaching of behavioral economics is present bias, which is the propensity to assign increased weight to payoffs that are more immediate. So for the insurer, they can provide multiple deductible options rather than waiting for the policyholder to ask for them. Another one that is worthwhile highlighting is the status quo bias. So that means that people typically have a preference for things to stay the same. A savvy insurer might take steps to counteract that. For example, they could offer to cancel the customer's existing policy, which would make it easier for them to switch because they would be hesitant to kind of rock the boat and, have some sort of a, thing change. The last thing I'd like to highlight is, the reciprocity effect. I talked a bit about how insurance in many ways causes people to lie. So the reciprocity effect states that, people have an urge to reciprocate the actions of another party, which thereby creates a wave of indebtedness. So if an insurer highlights things such as community service statistics or donations that they make with a unpaid portion of the premium, that can cause the policyholder in return to be more honest, reciprocate an act of kindness, and do the right thing.
How about the customer? Can the customer at all benefit from behavioral economics?
Yeah, I think that the customer can benefit. I would say that it's mostly a secondary effect. The insurer obviously kind of working towards using behavioral economics to achieve an optimal outcome. But I think an optimal outcome can mean, having the customer feel as if, it is a mutually beneficial process and both sides kind of are, getting the optimal outcome and getting the optimal benefit. I think also as well, the customer can really benefit because they are able to make the right decision. So an important tenet of behavioral economics is choice architecture. So framing the presentation of options to impact decisions by framing different options in a way that's understandable to kind of the human mind and allowing them to make a better decision that will benefit them, then that is a way that behavioral economics can benefit both parties.
Are there insurers that are buying into the idea or concept of behavioral economics?
Absolutely. And I think that there are insurers, whether they even know it or not, are kind of playing into behavioral economics. I think that insurance has and will always be a people business. And behavioral economics really acknowledges that by nature, many human decisions are predictably irrational. So a carrier that's kind of coined themselves as the behavioral economics carrier is Lemonade. And if you look at kind of the whole Lemonade process, it really is clear that it is infused with behavioral economics. One of the things that Lemonade has done is that they've tried to remove the misaligned carrier policyholder dynamic by changing the fundamental business model. I talked about how incentives are misaligned between the policyholder and carrier. So what Lemonade has done is they have said to the policyholder that they retain a flat 25% of premiums to cover expenses, 15% is used to cover reinsurance, and the remaining 60% is set aside to settle claims. Now, what Lemonade does by saying that, we have no incentive to cheat you on a claim or do anything like that, we take a cut, even before anything is done, is, they allow the policyholder to be more honest, let their guard down, and they say that their excess profits are donated to a pre-selected charity known as their give back problem. So basically, the policyholder can choose from 34 nonprofits, select the one where they want to earmark their excess premium, and in turn, the excess money is donated to a charity of their choosing. So that's going to incentivize, a more honest claim because the policyholder is really, cheating the charity of their choosing if they've had a claim. And at the same time, everyone feels like they're winning from that. Now, if you look at the actual process, it's clear that what Lemonade is doing also is really kind of improving the customer experience and reducing fraud. Something that is a small tweak that's made a huge difference is the pledge of honesty. So before a claim is filed, Lemonade basically primes the customer by first making them sign an honesty pledge saying that they understand that they're part of a community of people who trust each other to be honest, and they promise to only claim what they truly deserve. And I mean, this might seem like a very simple thing. Typically, the pledge of honesty is at the end of the process, but this has led to, more honest behavior by the policyholders. And I mean, that's really shown itself, because Lemonade had said that 5% of paid claims were actually returned when the policyholder found the item. So if someone lost a jacket and filed a claim and then they refound that jacket, they actually ended up paying it back because they felt that, you know, they had an obligation to do the right thing. So little tweaks like that have made a really big difference throughout the process.
Interesting. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, John. Always appreciate it.
The study is called Applying Behavioral Economics to Insurance. That was Andrew Schwartz, an analyst at Celent, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio. Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.